Welcome to Eucharist Podcast, where we're exploring what it looks like for a community of disciples to live all of life in reference to Christ. The following sermon was given by me, Father Joshua Wu, on January 1st, 2017, the Feast of the Holy Name.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is in a name? In the readings today, we hear God putting his name on the Israelites. We hear the psalmist sing, "How majestic is your name in all the earth." We see in the gospel reading God becoming man and being given the name Jesus, a name given to him before he was even born by his Father in heaven, a name which means Yahweh saves. We also hear that Paul proclaimed that it is at this name that every knee shall bow, on earth, above the earth, and below the earth, that this is the name that is above every name. This theme is not a happy accident, but is intentional, because today is the Feast of the Holy Name. So, happy Feast of the Holy Name to you all. And because this feast is celebrated on the eighth day of Christmas, as Kyle reminded us, Christmas is at least a 12-day feast. Merry Christmas to you all. So there seems to be a lot going on today with this feast day and with Christmas. It's because of the importance of names, what they mean and what they bear. So what does the Holy Name mean? And how do we remember and honor this Holy Name today? The meanings of names are significant and multi-layered. And I want to focus on three aspects of the meaning of names. And so if you bear with me, I'm going to let a little bit of my Baptist background out, and I'm going to have a classic three-point sermon. All right? So bear with me with that, and also bear with me because many of the examples and stories are going to come from my time in China. But it's because my time in China is the thing that really awoken me to the importance of names and made me realize how important names are. So if you're taking notes... Point one, names have inherent meaning. They tell a story and project a desired attribute of a person that bears that name. So for example, my parents went super biblical with my name and named me Joshua Elijah. Now this is because my Joshua and Elijah are two of my parents and my grandparents' favorite biblical characters. And you might, fun fact, why was I named Joshua Elijah and not Elijah Joshua? Well, it's because my parents wanted my initials to spell out J-E-D, which is short for Jedediah, which is also a name for Solomon. So somehow my parents were able to cram three biblical names into two. Thus, I'm Joshua Elijah, not Elijah Joshua. Now, this worked actually pretty well as a nickname or as a fun initials until I changed my last name to Wu, which makes it still a very biblical name, but not one as conducive to nicknames, to a nickname. So it took a couple of you guys a little bit longer to get that. But yeah, so Joshua is fine. You can just call me that. Anyways, so my parents gave me this because for them, these names are their hope for me. They hope that I would embody the leadership and courageous faith of Joshua, the prophetic and bold ministry and legacy of Elijah, and that I would have godly wisdom as Solomon. Now, I have not lived up to the grandeur of those names at all, but they're always before me as the hopes and aspirations and the prayers of loving parents that wanted me to embody this story and this character. And it's a reminder of what I was literally called to be. Now, over the years, especially living in Asia, I started to realize the power and significance of names. In fact, in China, they have professional name givers that are like fortune tellers that do all these astrological calculations, and for a price, of course, will give you the perfect name for your child to ensure that they have success and good luck. Names are very, very important. So it should be no surprise that when my wife and I went to name our children, we already had names for our kids before they were even born. So we have our oldest, Emanuela Joy, born near Christmas, which is a reminder that God with us is the joy of all people. And her Chinese name is Qingxin, which means pure in heart, because our aspirations and hopes for her is that she would be pure in heart and thus see God. Our youngest, Evangeline Grace, I mean, that's kind of a bit on the nose, I know, but I mean, the gospel of grace, all right? Can't get much better than that. And her Chinese name is Mei Xin, which means beautiful heart, because we want her to embody the beautiful heart of the gospel in all that she does. And you know what? We even have a couple more names at the ready that we may use someday. But no announcements or anything this morning, don't worry. Anyways, so names in many cultures, including the Jewish one, marked a person's character and mission, the aspirations of what their life was going to be about. And this brings us to the holy name of Jesus. His name was important, and that's why it was given to him by the Father before he was even born and announced by an angel. He was given a name that literally means God saves. And that, because that was his mission and that's what he embodied. He was our Savior. He is our Savior. He would embody and does embody God's saving love. The love that would pursue sinners even in their sin. That would take rebels and turn them into worshipers. So we can see that even the lexical meaning of Jesus' given name is almost sacramental in that it is an outward sign of this bigger mission and reality. It truly is the name above all names. But that's not it. That's not all. Point two. Names are initiation and identity and inheritance. That's alliteration, so I get extra Baptist points for that. All right. So point two, alliteration. Initiation, identity, and inheritance. Because often names are made up of two aspects. There's a given name, and then there's your family name. And your family name is often bound up with your inheritance and with initiation into a family or a culture. This is something that for me became really apparent when I first moved to China and entered into Chinese culture, because when I moved to China, one of the first things I found out is that you don't just merely translate your English name into Chinese. Like when I had spent time in Russia, one of the first things I learned to say was, Здравствуйте, меня зовут Джушва, which means, hello, my name is Джушва, which I don't know if Джушва is actually the Russian name for Joshua or just how Russians say Joshua, but that's what I went by when I was in Russia. But in China, it doesn't work that way. You don't just say your name in English with kind of Chinese tones or in a Chinese sounding way. Instead, you are given a new name. And so when I entered into Chinese society and culture, I had to be given a new name. And this was given to me by my friend's parents, and only after they got to know me, so that my name would fit my character and my story. It's because when you enter into a new culture, often you need to be initiated in that new culture with a new name. And so this also happened again when I took on my wife's family name and became Joshua Wu. As we became one through the sacrament of marriage, I married into her family so that her family could actually carry on their family name and inheritance. Because it is your family name that is your inheritance and is part of your identity. And this is also why we celebrate this feast on the eighth day of Christmas. It's because on the eighth day, in the Jewish culture and custom, is when you would bring your child, a son, to be circumcised. And is at their circumcision, when they entered into the covenant people of God, that they would be given their name and their identity and their inheritance. And so not only is this the feast day of the Holy Name, the eighth day of Christmas, but it's also the feast of the circumcision of our Lord. So happy circumcision of our Lord to you all. Now this is important because what happened to Christ at his circumcision happens to us at baptism. It is in baptism and through his holy name that we are brought into the family of God. That is why baptism has historically marked a person's entrance into the family of God and being identified as a Christian. And in fact, it's been a tradition in the church for a long time that when an adult convert came to Christ and was baptized, at their baptism they would be given a new name. And this new name would be their initiation into the family of God, breaking ties with their previous life and who they were and bringing them into the covenant people of God. So, what was Jesus' family name? What was his inheritance that we now share through baptism? You know, in Jewish custom, often your last name would be, you would be son of. And so we see it would be Bar. So Jesus was Jesus Bar Joseph, which we see in the Gospel of John, where Philip calls Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth. But we see that Jesus' inheritance and family name and title would become more robust. He would be also referred to as Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of Adam, the Son of David, and the Son of God. Now, his lineage and inheritance as the Son of Man or a Son of Adam is this. Jesus inherited our frailty. He was born without sin, yet into a world full of sin, so that he could bear our sins and redeem this inheritance, so that once again, being a daughter and son of Eve and Adam, to be a Son of Man could once again be a good thing, as it was in the beginning, as God looked upon his creation and said that it was good. His inheritance is also that he is the son of David, which means his inheritance is that of king, of the king. Because he is the fulfillment of the prophecy and the promise that David would have an heir that would rule over the people of God forever. He's also the Son of God, which is his divine inheritance that stretches well beyond the scope of merely this world that we can see. So it is through baptism that we put on this name and receive this inheritance. And lastly, point three. We have seen that Jesus has embodied this name, that he is, in fact, our Savior, as his name says. He gives us his name, and therefore we are initiated into his family and have an identity and inheritance in the kingdom. But lastly, his name is authority. Now, the authoritative nature of names is, again, something that I never really got growing up. But when I went to China early on, this became a lot more real to me, especially when we went to this one village area. Now, this was really early on. We didn't really know much about all the ins and outs and nuances of living in China and doing ministry there. But we had gotten this amazing opportunity to go visit this village. And so we did, not knowing that the area that we were going was actually completely restricted from foreigners and that we were not allowed to be there. But when we got there, the patriarch of the family, Mr. Shu, he sat us down and said, "You guys are my guests, and you are free to go around the village, the town, and the surrounding area. And if anybody gives you problems, just tell them that you are guests of Shi, Shi Xianxiang, and that will be enough, and nobody will give you a problem." And so then, in this way, he gave us his name as a covering and as an authority, which I was like, okay, you know, okay, whatever. But then when we were going for a walk one day, and we come to a checkpoint, and they're just like, "All right, where's your who are you? Where's your papers and everything?" We kind of start to freak out, and we're like, "Wait a minute, we're guests of Shi Xianxiang," and they're like, "Oh, okay, well, please, feel free and go." And I realize, wow, names have power, and in very much the same way, the name of Jesus is this covering and authority that he has given us, and that's why in Matthew 28, he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you, and lo, I am with you always." So this name that we bear through baptism has power. It gives us the authority to go and push back darkness in our own lives and our relationships in the world. It gives us the authority to actually meet and to be a church plant here in San Francisco, in a place that, to be honest, most people do not want us to be. And so today, as we celebrate the feast of the Holy Name, I want us to remember how Christ embodied his name as a Savior. That through his name and in baptism we have an inheritance, and that his name has authority. And my only point of application is that I want you guys to remember his name. This is why we have this feast. Because as with the feast of Christ the King, as I said, we are so prone to forget. Going back to the Shi family and the patriarch of that family, some of you guys might know have heard the story before, but I think in closing, I think it is an encouragement for us not to forget the Holy Name. In this village, by God's grace, the patriarch Shi and his whole family came to faith. And on one of our trips back, we were eating dinner, and he took me by the hand and he led me outside. And he told me to look up at the stars. and to look out at the rice fields that are ripe for harvest. And he told me, he said, I've worked this land my entire life. And I've known my entire life that there must have been someone who created this. In fact, in our culture, we have this belief that we used to worship the one true God, but because of our own negligence, we forgot his name. And so every time we actually drink, we actually dip our finger in the alcohol and flick it to heaven and to earth to thank whoever this was that created all this. And if you looked at our old family altar, you would have saw that in the middle, in the biggest and most predominant space, it said, to the God whose name we've forgotten. And then he looked at me and he said, but now I know his name. The name that my people and myself have forgotten. The name that haunted me on my entire life because I knew that there was a creator, but I did not know his name or his character. Now I know his name. And then he went on to tell me about how I think previously that day or the day before, somebody at the market was selling jewelry, and one of them happened to be like a little cross with a little crucifix. And he was saying, you know, it was so interesting. I went to the market, and I saw this, and I started to tell the person, do you know who that is? That's the name of the one that we've forgotten. Don't forget, this is the creator of heaven and earth. And he gave a little mini sermon there in the market. So may we, in our family line, in our relationships, bear the name and remember it. May his name always be on our lips. May it be in our hearts and our minds as we get up and as we go out, as we go to our work, as we go and enjoy leisure. May we remember this name and allow this name to remember us. So, as we prepare for this table, we not only remember Christ and what he has done, but we also allow ourselves to be remembered into a people who are truly marked by his name, so that we may go out into the world that God loves in his authority, sure of our identity, joyful on our inheritance, and able to shout at the top of our lungs the majesty of his holy name in all the earth. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Eucharist Church podcast. You can check us out online at eucharistsf.org or come join us Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock at 1504 Bryant Street, San Francisco, California.